Ephesians chapter 5. I think we're going to touch a bit on walking in the light tonight. Has anybody listened to that series, Walking in the Light? Walking in the Light. It's one that I did in the bookstore. And it's been out for a while, so I really need to change it out. I was listening to that a little bit, but there were some things in my heart, and I want you to go to verse 8. This is more of a Bible study time. This is more me sharing out of my spirit. And really, I think this is for young people to encourage them on getting back up again and walking in the right things, but it's just for everybody in their Christian walk to understand. When we say Christian walk, we don't mean Christian sit down. We're talking about doing something. We're talking about moving. And we're talking about using our faith. When it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, somebody that's seeking has to be actively looking. And in order to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, we need to have a knowledge of God's word. Therefore, that's why we're here at church. That's why we're hearing the word, so that we can get an understanding of what righteousness is. And really, righteousness is living right, but it's learning how to walk in love. And when you love God, you love yourself, you love others, you're going to use the fruit of peace. You're going to use the fruit of gentleness. You're going to be kind to one another. You're going to use all the fruit of the Spirit that really is your character in life. And then there are things that help us along that line when we get weary in well-doing or in walking in love. And we've all been there, done that. Have the T-shirt. When you walk in love with somebody and they just don't return it. Or you bless somebody, they don't bless you back. Well, you just keep on walking in love. And you don't allow yourself to be a doormat. And sometimes you have to walk in love long distance. You use wisdom, you understand. But at the same time, we've got to learn that somebody else's actions does not affect my salvation. My home in heaven has nothing to do with how somebody reacts to me. And I just keep reminding people, just don't allow people, well, to get your underwear in a knot, okay? Don't allow that to happen. Don't get in a wad, all right? Okay? Don't get out of character, so to speak. We were sitting in the car of some friends of ours, and I had never heard that term before, frankly, and I just about fell out of my seat when the pastor's wife were discussing very heavily one night. She says, "Kenny, don't get your underwear in a knot." And I'd never heard that term before. So there you go. That was all free. Well, Pastor Debbie, I'll get over it, okay? All right. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Now, I'll come back to that. Let's go ahead and read through 12 through 14. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Let's go ahead and I'm going to read clear through 21. Verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, that means accurately, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And we know what to do if we want to know what the will of the Lord is. What we do here is be being filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. In other words, when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, or that be filled, that means be being filled. When you're continually, just daily, whether you're in the car, whether you're getting ready in the morning, And you're building yourself up. We go to Jude 20 that says, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourself in what? In the love of God. So we are enlightening ourselves, because when you're yielding to the Holy Ghost, it's like this big searchlight, and you're looking to your spirit and you're seeing what God is saying. And it's also, it's bold, emboldening you. It's helping you to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, to endure in your faith. So praying in the Holy Ghost. Just keeping ourselves in the Word on a daily basis. Now, I was sharing with the ladies a couple Saturdays ago at my birthday women's meeting party. And just letting them know, and I'll be honest with you, I just went blank there. So I'm checking. I have to make sure that this is the way I'm supposed to go, because that's the second time I just blanked out. And that's not me, you know. Why don't you just lift your hand up and just pray in this. Peresunga. Now, there are some young people that are here that have been discouraged, and I believe God wants to get to you. Now, I mean, it can fit all of us, but I believe God wants to talk to you and encourage you tonight. It's not about a works program. It's not about doing everything perfect. And when you hear a message, and some that aren't here tonight, but frankly, parents, you can give them the CD and say, hey, I believe this is for you. Would you listen to it? And God wants to help rescue some people. In His mercy and His goodness, Pastor Jay has been addressing things, and it's really the mercy of God. It's really the goodness of God that He's been addressing some things. Now, let's go back to the word expose them. In verse 11, and having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Now, that doesn't mean that we're supposed to expose everybody else's sin. It does say, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. Made manifest by the light. So when somebody is hearing, sitting in a place where light is going forth, they're going to get light. They're going to get understanding of how to get out of that mess of darkness, so to speak. Especially we're talking about a Christian person here. But in all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead. But that word expose really means more to convict or to convince. And we need individuals to really look at God's light exposing their own heart. When you're sitting in the service and you're hearing the word of God, things are being exposed, not to everybody else. But it's between you and the Lord. So that's first and foremost what needs to be exposed. There are times when things need to be exposed, when the pastors are helping to keep others, when somebody in the congregation is living a lifestyle that could affect the rest of the congregation. But if you notice, we don't get up here and call out names. But at the same time, it's God's mercy to teach the congregation to steer clear of those things and to watch your fellowship. Not if that person, particularly if they're a family member, you just don't cut them off. Well, I'll never talk to you again if you don't come to the church. No, you don't do that. As a matter of fact, your love can bring them back. Now, I've dealt with that for years with family members, different ones that would not come into the church, but I saw them at a family event or what have you, and or that left the church out of bitterness or something. And God allowed me to just walk in love to them, pray for them. There were times when I had to pull myself away, and I didn't call them up every other day having lunch and dinner, and I didn't go over to their house, especially if they were living in sin. So in that respect, you have to be very careful, but we don't cut people off. We don't just say, hey, you know, if you're not coming to this church or you're not doing what I'm doing, so to speak, then I'm just cutting my fellowship off with you. But particularly in the area of family is what I'm addressing, because there's a certain place you have with family and a certain responsibility, and you just can't cut them off because they're walking in sin. You understand? But it's a little bit different when it's a friend that you're allowing in your home, and you're going to the movies, and you're going to dinner, and you're fellowshipping, and you're taking things in from them, they're taking things in from you, and that's fellowshipping with darkness. When it's a friend who's not living right, when it's a friend who's not at the same really level as you are, so to speak, because they've chosen not to be. They may be in rebellion. They may be attending a church. They don't believe in healing and health. My friend, you can't have a strong relationship, friend, fellowship relationship with somebody who doesn't understand healing and health. And if you've tried to talk to them about that for a period and there's a space of time, but then they continue to say, no, I don't believe that way. Or they're not baptized in the Holy Ghost. Your closest friends really ought to be the ones that you're attending church with. Or they might be long distance, but there's somebody that you can fellowship around redemption. And particularly around healing and health, around prosperity. You shouldn't be going out to dinner, going to movies, just fellowshipping with somebody that's speaking against your financial redemption or speaking against your healing redemption, or they're not baptized in the Holy Ghost. And there may be a space of time that God gives you, but if that person refuses to walk in that, then you got to move on. But relationships with people like that for years on end will bite you in the behind. You understand? But a family member, and it's particularly a child, now if they're bringing things into the home that aren't right, of course you've got to lay down the law. You've got to let them know what you expect. And you may have to even ask them to leave the house. Right? If they're living in sin, you don't go spend your time at their house. But you can meet on, what do you call that ground? Common ground. Yeah, they're your child. You're still using your faith. You're still walking in love. You don't just cut them off. And that's the love of God. Now, so you understand that. And then there's a space of time even for, we've had different situations where a husband came to church and the wife was not a believer, or vice versa. The wife came to church and the husband was not a believer. And the wife or husband started getting the good things of God, started to understand their redemption. Well, they didn't go home and say, get out of here unless you get saved. No, that wouldn't have been right. That's not the love of God. But they pray for them. There's a space of time. They start having the wisdom of God to address some things. Eventually, they start addressing, I can't have this in my home. I can't allow these programs. And if the spouse continually chooses after a space of time to walk through that, well, gradually you have to back off from that. You understand? And you've got to use extreme wisdom when you've got children involved along that line. All right. Well, that's not my subject. Expose them. We have individuals that come into our office and want marriage counseling. And the wife might say, he does this and he does this. And he won't treat me right in this. And it's all about exposing that person, what they're doing wrong. And we get them off exposing others and get them to expose themselves. In other words, it's not about you making a person treat you right. It's about you responding right. It's about you building character. It's about you being led by the Holy Ghost and you praying for that person. And then after you've exposed yourself, and then ask God, what can I do to help in this situation? And trust me, 9 times out of 10, it will change. It will turn around because they respond to you building your own character. Because you're treating them differently. Wives, you can't nag your husband. Well, do this or do that. It might be the right thing for them to be doing, but you cannot expect them to respond when you are nagging them. And men, you know, you can't control your wife. Don't expect them to respond or respect you when you are controlling, say, you need to do this, you need to do the other. No, we're heirs together in this. But when we're exposing, when we're looking, when we're coming to church and looking within ourselves and saying, Father, what is it that I need? What can I change in? And we're not following condemnation. See, that's what's been in my spirit very strongly. Most of God's children walk in condemnation in the morning, in the afternoon, in the night. And so if we are pointing a finger and saying, you need to stop doing this, you need to see, they're already hitting themselves with a hammer. You don't need to give them a bigger one. That doesn't mean, again, that you should just allow a child to come in and bring porn or look at things on the computer they shouldn't be or watching the wrong movies. You do have to set down rules there. But at the same time, you've got to you teach them it's not about do's and don'ts. You teach them it's about allowing God's Spirit to rise up at you and help you in these areas. And you just let them know, I'm the parent. You don't do these things in the house. And you do help take out the trash. And you do. And in other words, and they get to a certain age because you can't kick them out when they're 14. There's laws against that. Do you understand? You can go to jail. I've had parents come to me and say, this child is running me out of the home. And the DHS says, I can't kick them out. What do I do? I said, well, I guess you're going to have to pray in the Holy Ghost more, aren't you? I guess you're going to have to get in the Word more. I guess you're going to have to get the wisdom of God. I guess you're going to have to understand, and God's going to help you. You have authority in your home. And there are times you're going to have to get in their face, and you're going to have to let them know what it is. And if they won't do that, God's going to give you a plan. Well, Pastor Debbie, you need to tell me the plan. You're probably not going to like my plan. One of my family members emailed me several years ago and asked me if I would take their daughter that they weren't able to work with her anymore. And I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. They actually asked me to do that. Emailed back, and first of all, to say that on email, but anyway, I emailed back and said they wouldn't make it 2 weeks in our home. Yeah. First time I tell them to do the dishes, they wouldn't do them. You don't understand. You don't, in other words, and I didn't explain, but let me explain to you. They didn't raise them to do the dishes when they told them to. They didn't raise them to clean the room when they told them to. They didn't. So they had a cry on their hands. They were trying to, this teenager now, trying to get them to do the right thing. During my grandfather or my grandmother's funeral, for instance, I came back to the house early because Pastor Jay and I, we conducted the service, but I came back to my mom and dad's house years ago. Early, and my niece was there, and this is, well, anyway, praise the Lord. It's the one I was talking about. They're not watching, hopefully. If they are, I love you, okay? Well, she was there, and she was sitting on the couch watching the TV. The dishes hadn't been done. The dinner, we were going to have to serve dinner on the table, what have you. And I said, now, Jay and I have to, you know, Uncle Jay and I have to leave early. Go in there, do the dishes, change the trash, and do this. And I better not hear it didn't get done, because we have to leave. And Mom needs to come home. Mom and Dad need to come home. They don't need to be doing this stuff. You're young. You got strength, okay? You need to do this. Well, so we had to leave, but the rest of them came home to eat dinner, and we had to leave early to come back here and conduct the service Wednesday night. It was about a five-hour drive there. And my sister came in and noticed that the dishes had been done, the trash had been taken out. She looked around, and she was watching over the dinner. And she's like, what's wrong with you? The dishes are, and my niece said, Aunt Debbie told me I had to. And Shelly called me on the phone and says, thank you, that's wonderful. I said, well, you can do the same thing too. She wouldn't last 2 weeks with me. So no, she can't stay in my house because she wouldn't last. So with that, looking, and in that respect, parents, we have to look within in raising children. What are we empowering them to do? You know, I've had to tell parents, you haven't enforced them helping clean the house. You haven't enforced, you're not, if they're in their 20s and they're not helping to pay rent, there's something wrong. Well, they don't work. They haven't been able to find a job. What do you mean they haven't been able to find a job? I can find a job for them. Well, they don't have a car. They just won't go look. Well, if they don't have a house, I bet they're going to find a job. So in other words, you sit down. Now, I understand you've raised them this way, so just don't expect it to last, you know, to change overnight. But you sit them down with your hubby. If he's not in agreement, tell him, we'll stand aside. I mean, you gotta take control of your home, okay? You gotta expose some things of why we're having the problems that we're having. And I just told him, I said, if you want help, you came and you asked me. You know, and this person's precious. They wanted the right thing. I said, you sit down, you tell them that these are some things that are gonna change. And I'm expecting you to clean the house this much. I'm not, it's going to increase. I'm just letting you know. I'm going to let you build up to it, but it's going to increase. And then you're expected to work this amount of time. Get a job. Now, Pastor Debbie said you can work at the daycare if you need, but get a job. Because they come work for us, we're going to make them work. We'll teach them a few things about work, but they'll feel good about themselves. So anyway, I just told them how to deal with that situation. But you can't be passive and then come to us for counsel wondering why your home is falling apart. Now, so I'm meddling in family affairs here. Verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Now let's go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. There's reasons why we have issues in our home. But that's not to feel condemned. You know, getting condemned about it isn't going to help anything. You know, Pastor Jay and I have had problems. We've had issues. Over the years, I'm not talking about we have all kind of issues right now, because frankly, we're at a place where we have very few issues. I'm just being honest with you. I just like to go home, you know, because I don't got issues going on at my house. You know, about the only issue I have is when my cat is, you know, but she just wanted to play. You know, but we just don't have the issues that we used to, because we learned to put the Word of God on it. We learned to walk in the light. You got issues in your home, it just means that you need to expose those issues. And how do you expose those issues? By turning on the light. The lights are off. Darkness is prevalent. I'm not talking about demons in every corner. I'm just saying that your children don't understand necessarily what's expected of them. And you might have to make some tweaks and changes. Your husband may not know what's expected. Your wife may not know what's expected. It comes to a time where you've worked on yourself and you've exposed things. But now God's saying to you, like somebody told us recently at the Heirs Together conference that we did, at Pastor Hernandez and Olathe, several came with your spouses, and they went home. I'm not saying who this was, but they went home, and they sat their children down and said, there's going to be some changes in this home. I'm like, and Pastor Jay and I just about fell out. Hallelujah! Thank you! I mean, not that y'all don't go home and do what we teach and preach, but frankly, I hadn't heard that for a while. You did what? You sat your children down and you said there's going to be some changes? Well, thank you. Appreciate it. All that studying and praying and, you know, thanks. Hey, I believe in y'all. I really do. But that blessed us, all right? That blessed us. They went home and they did what we taught on. And they said, there are going to be some changes. Now, I respect that more than somebody that says, hey, we don't have any issues in our house. I respect it when somebody actually is letting the light of God's word expose some things, and then they're dealing with it. And it's not necessarily, you know, warm fuzzies going on. We don't feel like exposing things. We don't want to expose why issues are happening in our home. We don't want to expose why we're yielding to anxiety. We want it to still be about somebody that hurt me years ago. But it's really about we're not rejoicing. Anxiety is just the opposite of rejoicing. Yielding to fear is the opposite of rejoicing. And when you feel like just getting anxious and falling apart, woo! And maybe you have a 5-minute pity party, or maybe it lasts a day or two, but honey, you better start rejoicing if you want it to turn around. Because if you're waiting for that shadow of your past to do anything for you, it's not. It's not going to do anything but just continue to point you to they hurt me. Yeah, exactly. You understand? Yeah. Won't do a thing for you. Yeah. So are we in John 3? Yes. All right. In verse 18. Now, Pastor Jay and I have had to deal with our own issues in our home. We had to, you understand, our cat got out of line. No, I've had to deal with my issues. He's had to deal with his issues. We had to come. We still have to deal with things from time to time, and just not near what we used to. Thank God. I mean, that would be a real problem. We shouldn't have to deal with all the issues we used to. We've passed some tests in life. We have a peaceful home. And if it's not peaceful, it's because one of us is yielding to our carnal nature. And that needs to change. And we've had to tell one another, you need to deal with that. Excuse me. I'm going to let you deal with that. I'm going in the other room. Verse 18. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. So we have many in the body of Christ that are yielding to condemnation. And really, that word condemned means a damnatory sentence. And we get a failure mentality. And we get a mentality of when something good happens. I know, been there, done that. I understand the deception of the enemy. We get a mentality of when good things happen, we're wondering where the bad's going to come. Well, something's good happened. I know something bad, it's going to come in, take the good away. Because that's how the devil operates. You know, and we need to be on guard, but we should not have a mentality that the devil can come steal our blessings. All right. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, we understand that, first of all, the primary sin is not receiving Jesus as our Lord and Savior. But when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and if we sin, we don't yield to condemnation. We simply repent, get back up, and say, Lord, forgive me, according to 1 John 1:9. So there's condemnation when we are not walking in the light, so to speak. So condemnation came to mankind because they didn't receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And then when we receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, condemnation should not be a part of our life whatsoever. Now, let's read the rest of this. This is the condemnation. This is what causes condemnation. Did you want to know? That the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. Now, you know, parents, your children might want to sow their wild oats for a while. When they come to a place, they go off to college or whatever, they might want to, but you just got to stand your ground. You don't give up on them, and you're not passive with them. You ask the Lord anything. Okay, Father, I'm going to pray for them. Anything in me that needs to be exposed, anything in our home that needs to be exposed. See, I'm not putting condemnation on anybody. You understand that? I'm saying that if there's an issue in the home that has contributed to a child falling, God will show you. Otherwise, and you don't yield to condemnation over it. You just make the changes. But otherwise, you just keep enduring. I mean, we have people like Franklin Graham, who's doing a wonderful, and yet he rebelled for some years, didn't he? You have the story of Kenneth Hagin Jr. that rebelled for some years and almost died prematurely by taking his motorcycle. He was in the Army, taking his motorcycle off a cliff, and it was an angel of God that pushed him back on because of the prayers of his dad. I personally watched Stephen Dufresne rebel against God, and Dr. Dufresne brought him to meetings whether he wanted to come or not. Hand out offering envelopes whether he wanted to or not. And I saw him change, and now, you know, Pastor Jay was telling me, you know, because he's gotten to have some good fellowship with Pastor Morgan and Reverend Stephen, and he said, I just so appreciate those guys. What wonderful hearts they have. And I personally saw that over the years. So you don't give up on your children. But at the same time, you've got to say, okay, Lord, is there anything that I've done that's contributed to this? Is there anything that we need to do to change in our home? And really, if they're gone, you just have to pray, you know, and walk in love and whatever. I mean, it could be that if you're the one that sent them to that carnal college in the first place, that you have to tell them there's not going to be a breadline anymore. I should have never allowed you to go there in the first place, and therefore I've contributed to the problem. And I've told parents, be careful, careful, please be careful about paying the bill and for your children to go off into secular colleges. You understand? Been there, you know, been around a few times. I know. I've seen them fall away. And even sending them off to what you think is a really good Christian college. They can marry the wrong one. They can get off. Just be led by the Spirit. Just make sure they're ready for that. And let God expose what's inside. And it may be that you can't do anything about it right now. And maybe you did contribute to that, but what do? You say, Lord, I'm sorry. Yes. I contribute to, there are plenty of things I've had to say I'm sorry for over the years, okay? And Lord, I contribute to that, I'm sorry. Now, I'm asking you to turn it around by your mercy and your grace, and you pray for them, you walk in love, but you're not passive. But the thing is, I'm amazed that parents that know that maybe they sent their child off to the wrong university or something, they just keep paying the bill. Well, I sent them there in the first, I'm like, okay, go ahead. To your own hurt, go ahead. But there's a time and place where you have to do what God's telling you to do. Expose first and foremost any things in your own heart. But then let God talk to you about things in your home. Let God talk to you. Are you just going about your day the same? Well, all hell's breaking loose, Pastor Debbie. And this, you know, we've dealt with this with several families in the church. Not all the time by any means. But see, you're in the world and therefore you're going to be challenged. So it could just be that there are trials and fiery darts coming to you. I really didn't plan on going this way. Get the car ready, okay? We're out of here. I need you to start rolling bottles of water. It's getting dry up here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the anointing. It breaks the yoke of bondage. But we've had situations where parents came to us, all hell's breaking loose in my home. Well, what's God saying about that? What I want to ask you is, first and foremost, let's internalize on what God's saying to me and my own personal relationship. Because I do believe that God will help turn your children around if you say, okay, God, I'm going to take care of myself. And I'm going to take care of your kingdom. I'm not pulling out of the church, not leaving my pastor. I'm not just because somebody else is doing something stupid. But I'm going to internalize this and expose it myself. Now, what are you saying? And he may say you've done some good things. You know, God's like that. He doesn't just, you know. But make some tweaks here. I'm just talking about in your own personal relationship. And then you're at a place where you can hear of any changes just in general that you can make in your work, in your home. You know, I have to ask this. You know, moms and dads, are you spending the time with your children that you need to? Are you just expecting the other spouse to do it? Well, we take them on vacation. I understand that. That's all good and fine. But I'm talking about really genuinely sitting down and listening to what they're saying. And is it about what you want them to do all the time? I understand, again, but you're empowering them, you're helping them make choices and decisions. And there are certain things that you ought to be steadfast on, where they go to church. You ought to be steadfast on. You got to make choices. Your 9-year-old child isn't, you know, if he comes up to you and says, I don't want to go to church anymore, it's like, that's not an option. Do you want to be grounded for a month? Say that to me again. That's where we're going. Well, you don't have any children. Well, and you might want to ask around a little bit if Pastor Jay and I are just passive on situations. But at the same time, I'm going to, when an issue comes up and somebody is dealing with a problem in a department, I look inside, and it's like, Lord, have I contributed to this? Is there a change we can make? Is there a change in our leadership that we can make? In other words, you know, do we need to I don't fire somebody or whatever. I'm just like, can we treat this differently? Did we contribute to this? Because if we did, let's just make the change. Let's not be stubborn. But we look at that first, and then I also take into consideration, are they hurting? See, I talked to Teresa about this. And are they hurting? I want to talk to them. I'm going to talk one-on-one. And I really talk to them about what's going on in your life that you're snapping at other people or doing this. And, well, this is what's going on. 99% of the time, well, this is what's going on, Pastor. Okay, and now I'll minister to that. But I do tell them, you're dealing with hurt. And we're going to be there. We're your family. But that doesn't give you a license to treat your department that way. It doesn't give you a license to bark at people that way. That doesn't give you a license not to walk in love. So we're going to have to make those changes. And if they don't, well, eventually they're going to move out of that department. And if somebody gets to a place where they won't listen to us at all and we have to ask them to step out of helps ministry, I mean, sometimes you just say, well, just come to church. Just receive the word, please. Now, that doesn't mean that if somebody has stepped out of Helps Ministry, you don't know why. And I've said this before, it could just be that we had it in our heart that they just needed a sabbatical, whatever, that's usually not the case. But anyway, it can be a thousand different things. So don't go there in your mind. All right, I'm just asking you not to judge people. All right, I don't want people to feel judged in this church because they're not in Helps Ministry. But at the same time, it can be a hundred different reasons. And it's not always because they're in sin, all right? So let's just move on from that. We don't need to go there. As a matter of fact, if you notice that they were really involved in Helps Ministry and they aren't anymore, just love on them. Pray for them. Realize it's like, well, probably something's up, but I'm just going to love on them. I'm going to pray for them. You know, I'm not going to make them feel. I mean, in a family, if little, you got three children and one of them is grounded for a month, do the other two? Well, they probably do give them a hard time just because that's what brothers and sisters do. But the mom and dad are like, hey, just stop it. You know, you're teaching them that they've already been disciplined. You don't need to add to it. They don't need that. It's hot in here. Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. For everyone practicing evil, verse 20, everyone practicing evil hates the light, does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. So there we go again, that word exposed. Let's read it again, what the definition to exposed means. Admonish, convict, tell a fault, rebuke, reprove, so on and so forth, conviction. Really, we're looking at the light exposing something in someone's heart. We're not talking about somebody's sin being exposed in the congregation. We're talking about somebody coming and sitting under the word, and the light of that word is exposing things in their heart. But he who does the truth comes to the light that his deeds may be clearly seen. And I lost my place there because something came up on my calendar and it moved on me. But he who does the truth comes to the light that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. So exposing things in our own heart. Really, that's what we wanted to talk about tonight. And I'm not going to go much longer here. The only thing I'm going to encourage you, I didn't say anything I said tonight to try to point any family out, any person out. That was not my motive whatsoever. Didn't come here with anybody in mind. As I was led to say something, there are people that came up before me or I saw in my heart, you understand, but that's not my motive. Because in all honesty, God knows my heart that I just want him to expose things in me and I want to work on myself. But our job is to preach and teach the word. And our job is to be an example in that. And our job is not to passively sit by and say, kumbaya, everybody just come into the house of God. Now, I will say this. Let's turn very quickly to Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to end there. Hebrews chapter 12. But people come to the church and they're excited and they grow up in the things of God, but then maybe they fall into a sin of some sort, but yet they're still coming. But they may make a comment such as, I don't believe anybody loves me anymore, or see, it's condemnation. See, that's what I'm trying to say. And young people, do not allow the enemy to condemn you. Even if you've fallen in sin, even if there's something that you know that you're living in that's not right. Pastor Jay and I love you. This church body loves you. But at the same time, we're not going to water our message down. And we're not going to expose things outwardly by giving names, but we are going to preach the Word of God that will expose things. It will expose things in your heart. And sometimes if people know individuals and are friends with them, it's going to expose things to them. It's like, well, so-and-so's dealing with this, and I may have to pull away if they keep going that way. I'll pray for them. I'll love on them. But I may not be able to go out to dinner with them every other day. You know, and you may just have to tell somebody, I know you're dealing with some stuff. I'm praying with you. But it's affecting our fellowship. It's affecting our fellowship. So just, I'm asking you to make the right choices. This has to be between you and God, but at the same time, I can't spend time around if you're going to keep yielding to that thing. All right? So in that respect, things will be exposed by the Word of God, and God will show you, hey, you may have to watch a relationship with somebody. You understand? So things are being exposed in people's hearts. Things are being exposed in, okay, I'm going to have to watch this relationship thing. You're getting answers. You're getting answers. Now, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, and very quickly here, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. So all of us have missed it. All of us have yielded to sin at one time or another, and we're not giving people a license to do that. But that's what the house of God is for. For us to grow up, for us to get light, for things to be exposed. So we're not condemning anybody. And I'm asking you that if you're coming to church, don't yield to condemnation. There are areas in your life that I'm saying that the enemy will trip you up. He'll deceive you. It'll just get worse and worse and worse. So don't just allow that stuff in your life. But at the same time, we can't passively just not teach the word and tiptoe through the tulip, so to speak, because we don't want to offend anybody. And if we have to pull somebody out of helps ministry for some reason, again, it can be 100 different things. That's between Pastor Jay and I and God. But at the same time, don't think that somebody's sitting there staring at you in the service, why is he? I'm just going to ask you not to go there. We're a family. We believe in one another. We're praying for one another. But this isn't a place where we're just going to allow sin. But so if you keep coming, it's going to be exposed. First and foremost in your heart. And God will show you how to deal with it. He'll show you how to cut it off. He'll show you. You got to let go of the past and move forward. But there's a process that it takes. And there's books and there's CDs. And there's people here that you might just need to pull aside and say, hey, you know, I'm dealing with it in this area. Can you pray for me? Can, you know, give me a scripture or something. You know, people can't do it for you. But thank you, young people, for continuing to come back. Even when you've fallen. Because Pastor Jay and I wouldn't be where we are if we didn't come back when we've fallen. And we've all fallen in different areas, but sin is sin. Sin is sin. There are different consequences for different sins, you understand. And that's necessary. But nobody should be condemned if they're coming. They're receiving, they're allowing the light to expose that thing. But if somebody's coming, they're not receiving, they're not allowing the light to expose it, there's a space of time. And it's been few and far between, but we may have to ask somebody to leave in that case because we don't want it to affect or spread in the congregation. And Pastor Jay has been addressing things, and it's just been the mercy of God. But at the same time, his heart is tender, especially towards our young ones, but just for everybody in general, to let you know we're not here with a hammer. We're just teaching. We're preaching the Word of God. Don't allow condemnation in. If you're dealing with addictions in your life, if you're dealing with sins that you just don't know how to overcome, I tell you what, the Word will give you light. It will show you how to get through that thing. And I'll tell you, the biggest key to that is in the midst of the desire to do that thing, in the midst of thinking, well, I'm going to go home and yield to that, just be speaking the Word of God, I'm free. Start saying, I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. Or whatever it is. You know, it could be smoking. It could be, and we've never told somebody you can't come to church if you're smoking. I mean, that's not our heart. I mean, do I tell people don't come to church if you're drinking coffee? If you drink too much coffee, you're going to get a caffeine high. You understand? I mean, you might smell a little bad if you're smoking at times, but what's the difference? If you're yielding to something else, it isn't necessarily a narcotic. You understand? So let's stop yielding to condemnation. And in 1 John chapter 3, it talks about the two things, of the law of love and believing in Jesus. And the New Testament law is really believing and walking in love. Believing and walking in love. And if you love God, you love yourself, you love others, you're going to treat your body right. Amen. If you love God, you love yourself, you love others, you're going to treat the body of Christ right. Right. Yes. Don't treat the body of Christ right, then you can open the door to the enemy. Yes. And if we don't treat the body of Christ right, really, we're not doing the Ten Commandments. We're not under the law anymore, but at the same time, if we're walking in love, we are fulfilling the law of love. Amen. Amen.